time, but listen, my life, what God has given me. And there's a balance in this life to do what with what God has given us. Listen, what we're to do is to glorify God. And what we get to do ought to glorify God. Church, however we live our lives, in whatever realm, in whatever sphere that we're in, keep this in mind. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we do, either in eating or drinking, whatever we do, we must all do to the glory of God. That's for the Christian. Now, before some of you think that that's a, you know, boy, this, what are you just asking us to dress in black and to pull our hair back in a bun and eat, you know, soup and sit there and become kind of Amish-like? No. I personally believe that God wants us to get up and go into the world. I mean that. For those of you who work in the world, which is just about every one of you, unless you work in a church, and sometimes, I don't know, both are very difficult. You're going to get up and you're going to go to a place that's godless. I tell you what, working in a godless place, either A, you'll become like them, or B, they'll become like you. Your Christianity is incredibly powerful and greatly resilient. I think God wants us to go into the world. To go into the world, but not become of the world. To show them the way, to make them a different, to show them that there's something different. I think that's very important, very powerful. Whatever we eat, whatever we drink, the Bible says, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Is it God honoring? It's kind of tough to honor God at a party, well, you know, with Seagram 7 in your hand. It's just, the world's going to come up and say, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you're getting drunk. Oh, I'm not drunk. Well, yeah, but aren't you drinking that beer or that thing? And what? I mean, you're supposed to be different. Listen, go to the party or go to the thing or go, you know, if you got to go to happy hour with your work, go to a happy hour and you know, you want to generate a witness? Order milk at the bar. You said, Jay, you're kidding. You know, well, I told you before that I had just shortly come to Jesus Christ and I'd gone to a party with a friend of mine. And we actually had milk in our hands. And boy, did that generate an attention. First thing was, people walked up and said, what are you doing? Quit goofing off. Here, drink this beer. Well, I don't want the beer. Well, what are you doing? It's milk. Well, what's that all about? Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, brother, come on, stop it. Drink the beer. And you know what's funny? Have you ever seen this happen? When you're in a setting like that, the people who, first of all, start out, they want you to drink the beer instead of the milk, or the beer instead of the Coca-Cola or Pepsi, why are they so important? Why is it so important to them now what I drink? Have you seen that happen? Come on, drink this. What are you drinking? No, no, it's okay. Well, come on, drink it. Why are you so bent on me drinking this? You know what? They feel better if you drink like they do or do what they do, because now they've got no standard to look at and it's not so uncomfortable to have you around. You say, well, Jack, how am I ever going to lead them to Jesus? Because you know what? You can be fun. You can be loving. You can be insightful. You can be in that scenario and not become of it, but give them or show them a different way. And listen, here's what happens. When you begin to point or pick on that setting with righteousness, not being snub-nosed, are you with me? Not being self-righteous. But when you're there and you're making a difference, they're going to come up, they're going to try to push you down. That doesn't happen. So what they wound up doing, they wind up trying to involve you in. That doesn't happen. And then out of the crowd, someone will come forward and say, hey, why are you doing this? What's happening? Can you tell me about it? That's why Paul said, I become all things to all men that some might be saved. That is important. Stop being such a wimpy Christian and think that you can only hang around Christians. You can only work at a Christian company. You can only eat Christian food. You can only drive Christian cars. Listen, God wants us to go to the world and make a difference. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered by God. Get out there and give them God. See, people don't want church. Don't walk out there and say, hey, here's my milk. My pastor said I should drink milk. I go to Calvary. Don't be such a nut. You know what? That's crazy. This pastor and this church can do nothing for you. It's Christ. Take your milk or take your Pepsi or go to that soccer game, you know, and everyone's cussing. Don't cuss. Let them see the difference. Then let them come to you. Why are you different? Because Jesus is awesome. What? They already know He's coming back. They've heard about that. Give them hope. Give them Jesus. The resources is the very life. Have I presented myself as a living sacrifice to God? Lord, here I am. Notice, it's a living sacrifice. God doesn't say, strap yourself to an airplane and fly into buildings and kill yourself. That's not God, that's Satan. God says, present yourself alive to me, not dead. I can't use dead stuff. I want a living person. And I want you to live for me. People will see Christ in you and say, man, what is up? I want that. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, when Paul told the church at Rome, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the word bondservant is a voluntary slave, willfully subjecting or being subservient to the will of another. To hand back your rights to your master. Paul says, I'm a slave of Christ. Are you a Christian this morning? If you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then listen, you've automatically put yourself in that category. Then I'm also a slave of Christ. Isn't that great? I'll be a slave to no man. Well, I don't want to be a slave to any man either. But I will be a slave to Christ because that's the only freedom there truly is. It makes no sense at all, by the way, to be a slave unless you have a wonderful master. And this word here, doulos, bondservant, Romans 1:1, means that you've done your time, your freedom has come, you're to be released, and you take your freedom that's been granted to you by your master, and you walk back to him and you say, Master, I don't want to leave you. I recognize that you're wonderful. I yield my life to you. I invite you in to be not only my master over what I've always done, now I'm asking you to be my master in all that I shall do from this moment on. And it's more sweet, more wonderful than ever because I willfully ask you to come into my life and be my master. I want to be your slave, Lord. And that's the way you live. It is the best way to live. And by the way, can I say this? Rarely do I lay awake at night worrying about things. I may lay awake at night for some things or some issue and I'm praying and I just don't get sleepy. I have one of those problems. I don't sleep. To me is an interruption. I don't sleep much. But I tell you, if I'm going to lay there and be praying, Lord, your will be done in my life. If there's a problem, I lay my head down at night. First Peter, jot this down. You're going to need it. Say, I'm not going to need it. Well, then don't write it down and wish you had written it down because you will need this. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all of your cares upon Christ because He cares for you. You know what that means? I'm your slave, Lord. I've got nothing to worry about. You told me that you're my master. Good night, Lord. I'm blessed. And go to sleep. Why? Because He says, I'll care for you. That's being a slave to Jesus. Lord, you brought me into this world. Take my life and do whatever you want with it. That's the right way to live. God, I yield to you. 1 Corinthians 6:12, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies which belongs to God and your spirit. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought at a price, do not become a slave to man. And of course again, 2 Peter 3:11, what manner of persons ought we to be? Knowing that Christ is coming back. And it's obvious, my friend, thirdly under this point, what am I doing with my vitality? Vitality is the word meaning life. What am I doing with the very unction of my life, the very energies of my life? This Bible tells us, our Bible tells us, that there's going to be a great gathering of this great judgment supper of God. Notice the difference, as I mentioned earlier, in Revelation 19, verse 9, verses 17. If you look at verse 17 and you compare it to verse 9, completely two different locations, completely two different events, and listen, completely two different hosts. One is God the Father. The other is Jesus Christ the Son. That's very important. In light of these things, in light of my vitality, I tell you, listen, it is important. God, while I've got the opportunity, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? My time, my resources, my vitality. Look at you. Look around at you. You're here. We're here together. Corporately. Look, there's enough of us to get together. Do you realize, honestly, can you imagine if we just got together, if I were to say, okay, everyone, come on over here. I'm going to tell you something. We all just set everything down. We go over here into the corner and I go, psst, shh, hey, let's do this. Now imagine for a moment. Imagine for a moment you couldn't say no. You couldn't bail out.
He said, oh, I'm getting nervous. I'm getting nervous about that.
A bus is going to pull up. We're all going to get in it. It'd be a big bus. We're going to go down to, the hospital. And we're all going to walk through the various floors like a scavenger hunt. You know, we're just going to be deployed into the community of that hospital. And whenever you come to an open door, walk in. Remember, you can't say no to this. You're going to go into the room, and there's going to be, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 of you. You're going to go into a room, and you're going to walk over to that person that's sick, and you're going to say, Lord, in Jesus' name, bless this person. If they know you, cause them to know you more and bless them. If they don't know you, bless them with coming to the knowledge of you. Lord, bless their family. God, we ask you to show your presence to this person in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, if it be your will to heal them or for them to learn something through this sickness, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, we would say, amen. God bless you, my friend. See you later. And you go to the next room. Can you imagine if we all did that together? You know, that's what we should be doing together. Think about it. You say, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know what? This is what Christians do. This is serious. Why is this important? Because that's what I need to be doing with my vitality before it's gone. I want to take this temple that God has given me. I mean, look, I'm having a good day today. My back doesn't hurt. I feel good. I've lost some weight. I'm feeling all right. Let me say it again. I've lost some weight. I'll say it one more time. I've lost some weight this month. I've lost some weight. But you know what? I'm feeling fine. It's summer. I mean, it feels like summer. I know it's spring, but it feels like I'm feeling good. What I want to do with this temple that's working right, my body being presented to God, Lord, use it. Because I know what I do with my body when it feels good and I don't give it to the Lord, I could fall out of a tree. I mean, I almost did that last night. I had no business cutting a limb off the tree. I was on a ladder. It was shaky. It was starting to move. I was too high up there. The saw was giving me trouble, so I had to use my left hand because I'm right-handed. I'm in a bad angle. You guys, I almost bit the dust, literally. Why did I get up there? Normally, I'm not going up there. Oh, my back hurts. Did I stop to think, I feel great. I'm going to go up there and cut that limb. The Lord, you know, honestly, I tell you, I'll confess. I was getting ready to read my daily reading. And I looked out the window. That branch is going to fall. I put it down. No, stop right there. Would God want me to do my daily reading or cut down the branch from the tree? He'd want me to do my Bible reading first, then go cut down the branch from the tree. Or he could have said in my daily reading, don't cut down the branch from the tree. No. I put down my Bible. I'll take it from here, Lord. I'll be right back. I almost get killed. I want to present my vitality to the Lord and let Him use it. And by the way, remember, whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Are you going to go surfing today or are you going to go snow skiing today? You know, you have that choice today. You can do either one. It's going to be 80 degrees or more, or you can go snow skiing today. What a wild place we live in. What are you going to do today? You're going to go to Disneyland today? You're going to go down to San Diego today? What are you going to do today? You going to mow your lawn today? Do it to the glory of God. Are you going to go have a barbecue today? Do it to the glory of God. Don't stop having barbecues. Sorry, kids, no barbecue. We got to live our lives to the glory of God. Your kids are going to go, who wants God? And I don't want to live here anymore. I mean, think about it. Second point that we look at this morning, Jesus Christ is coming again. Number two, it's outrageous. It is outrageous. Look at verse 19. Unbelievable. Verse 19 blows my mind. I saw the beast. That's the Antichrist. Remember him? Mr. European world leader. We already know about this guy a lot. He's going to arise out of the revised Roman Empire, says the Bible. What's amazing about that is Europe, by the way, Europe today, or Europe this week, I got emails from Europe, from our friends, that they just now corporately, the nations of the European Union, all accepted the constitution that was presented, and we brought word to you of that a couple months ago. They've accepted it. Keep that in mind. You're going to see Europe become a tremendous military power, a tremendous political power, and already the euro dollar is kicking the currencies of the world as it increases in value. Now look at this. I saw the beast, the Antichrist, the kings of the earth, the political rulers of the earth, and their armies, its military armies, gathered together to make war against him, that's Christ, who sat on the horse, and against his army. That is Jesus and the church and the saints coming out of heaven. This is absolutely amazing. It's outrageous. See, what's outrageous? How stupid can they be? Are you serious? The Battle of Armageddon is taking place. Don't you think the Bible, don't you think that somebody there would know the Bible? They're warring with each other. Then all of a sudden, the nations of the world are going to agree. Remember, they're involved in a battle. Book of Daniel tells us that there's going to be an army invading from the north, and an army invading from the south, and an army invading from the east that will come against the forces of the Antichrist, and it must be perhaps Asia, some nations of North Africa. They're going to be coming to fight against the Antichrist and his forces. They collide in the Valley of Armageddon. While they're fighting, the heavens are going to be rumbling and shaking all of a sudden. Christ is going to be appearing. And wouldn't you think at that moment you'd lay down your tank or your fighter plane and say, whoa, what is this? We give up. Wouldn't you wave a white flag? They turn their weapons toward Jesus. How stupid can they be? You say, well, I don't believe it. That's pretty stupid. I don't think anybody could be that stupid. Really, remember history, my friend. Jesus came the first time, raised people from the dead, hugged little kids and gave them their lives back, fed people by the thousands, and did nothing but good. And what happened? They killed him. But if Jesus would come again, we wouldn't do that. We would love him. This world would kill him again. He's going to come and they're going to turn their tanks on him. And I'm sorry, it's outrageous, but it's going to be awesome. Listen, the question is this. They are not willing to follow Christ. Am I willing to follow Christ now while I can, while I'm able? That's very important. In John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, I had a chance to share this yesterday with a bunch of kids. I love this verse. John 10, 27 to verse 30. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. You know, that's a statement of fact. If you're a Christian, you follow Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get whacked out with goober doctrine. If you're a Christian, you're not going to go get involved in a cult. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get lost. Why? Jesus said it. My sheep, they know my voice. I know them. They follow me. How simple is that? Pretty simple. You know, it's pretty cool. Pretty amazing. If you've never seen this, you need to go hang out with some sheep. You need to go watch what they do. Especially where there's multiple shepherds around. When there's multiple shepherds, the guy will go, wait, wait. I'm silly. I mean, I'm sure. I'm silly and sure. I know it sounds silly, but when they make their funny little sound, each of them have their unique word. The sheep respond. The sheep can all be all mixed together and they're talking, hey, what's your shepherd like? He's pretty cool. What's your shepherd like? Oh, he's all right. Those two shepherds can be having tea together, and one of them could go, okay, well, it's time for me to go, hoi, hoi! All of his sheep go, let's go! And they follow him. All the other ones are just sitting there, ah, ah, until the other guy goes, yo! And then all of his sheep get up and follow him. And it's wonderful. I've seen this happen. I've actually seen this happen in Chino Hills. Truly. And I've seen this happen in Israel. The funniest thing I've ever seen is my sheep follow my voice. You know, I know them, they follow me. First time in Israel, we're heading towards Jerusalem. And we saw this big Mercedes-Benz pull up. This guy gets out. He was an Arab Bedouin with all of his wrappings, you know, with all the clothing. And he gets out and he opens the back door and about 10 sheep get out of his Mercedes. I'm dead sick. And they're following him down the street. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, apparently, even in the Mercedes with this guy. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, Jesus said, John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's how safe you are, Christian. You should be going nuts over this. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Man, that's like you being in a gate, stuck. That's like you being in a clam. The hands of Jesus, the hands of the Father, and you're right in the middle. Safe. God wants His sheep safe. And He doesn't want them walking around going, are you my shepherd? Am I your little lamb? I don't feel like I'm a lamb today. Are you sure you want me to be your shepherd? Your lamb? What's with all the doubt? He says, my sheep know my voice. When He speaks, He says, I know you. Can you say today that the Lord speaks to you and says, I know you, Jack? Hey, when people criticize you and people attack you, you know what? You just need to look and say, Lord, I'm under attack. Is it justified? Is it right? Maybe I deserve it. Maybe I should be attacked. And you listen. And if what you've done brings glory and honor to the Lord and it was the right thing to do and you obeyed Him, let the attack come. Because He will say to His sheep, I know you. And you followed me in this matter. And listen, if all men speak well of you, then you're not a friend of mine. Stand for righteousness. You're going to be salt, and it's going to rub people the wrong way. But are you doing it for my glory? Yes, Lord. Then you know what? Follow me. Let's go. Let's keep going. It's very encouraging. Listen, not only are we asking the question, are we going to follow Him? But listen, are we going to be yielding to the will of God? As a Christian, I need to be willing to yield to the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Am I willing, in light of all of these things coming upon the earth, and Jesus could come back for the church or for me today, am I willing to take up my cross and follow Him? You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus went to the cross. He did go to the cross. But if I'm a Christian and I'm going to follow Him, I will have my cross to bear. Church, listen. The cross to bear that you and I have, it is as different and as diverse as a snowflake. Your cross, though some of ours will be the same, they still differ. What is it in your life that you must bear this cross? Could it be the past that you constantly have to ask God to remove from your memory? You have got to keep doing that. Is it maybe someone who has hurt you and God says, forgive them? And you want to argue with God, they hurt me, they hurt me. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. If Jesus says to you, and it could be as diverse as this, if Jesus says to you, I want you to go into that company, I want you to do this thing, I want you to be my witness, I'm asking you to do this, and let's say you don't want to do that, but you know God has spoken to you to do it. You pick up that cross and you follow Him. And you be willing to lose your life. You say, well, is that a physical sacrifice? Well, it could be, but that's not the context. It's something perhaps even more painful. Are you willing to live the rest of your life as a Christian and have me override your will, override your desires, override your commitments, override your plan, Jack, and let me live it through you? That is a disciple. And that's what he asked every one of us this morning, Christian or non-Christian. Will you give me your life? Yielding to the will of God. Also this, am I obedient to what the Lord wants of me? Am I obedient? I need to be obedient to what Christ asks of me. So the application is this. Daily, the Lord grants us opportunities for me to grow under His loving care. These people that will turn on God never would have yielded, never would have been obedient. They want nothing to do with them. Third and final point this morning, Jesus Christ is coming again, and it's ominous. I love that word, ominous. It sounds ominous, ominous. We often see when we say the word ominous as a great cloud is coming and a storm is brewing. Well, it's true. Listen, verses 20 to 21, then the beast was captured. You guys, this is incredibly graphic, and I need some of you to listen carefully, because if you have been involved in the Mormon religion or the Jehovah Witness religion or the New Age movement religion, you need to hear what Jesus says, because it's going to be quite revealing. Then the beast was captured. When Christ comes in the second coming at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist is captured. Okay, now watch this. This great Daniel, the whole book of Daniel is about this guy. The book of Daniel tells you of incredible exploits of this man and his powers. He is somehow captured. With him, the false prophet. That's the guy that keeps doing all these miraculous signs in his presence. The religious leader of the world, we'll call it the world church, who works signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. What's the mark of the beast, everybody? Number what? 666. And those who worshipped his image, his icon, his statue, his altar. By the way, I read an old commentator this weekend, and he said that as we... Listen, this is going to give you goosebumps. This guy wrote this about 90, almost 100 years ago. He said, as we approach the times that precede the second coming of Christ, based upon this verse, you can expect to see people be more bent on idol worship, altar worship, and making sure that every room of every home in those that have rejected Christ at that time, as we approach that time, have an idol or an altar in their homes in all that they do. And why do I bring that up? Because more than ever, we see people with idols in their homes, altars in their homes, in their businesses, burning incense, making presentations to idols that are dumb, idols that cannot see, idols that cannot hear. We've got an idol in town that stands there. It's just an idol. It's an idol. And you drive by and you go, that's funny. It's not funny. The people that worship that idol, they don't think it's funny. Don't laugh at their idol. It's not nice. It's serious to them. They present their life to that idol. Oh, I'm going to get one of these for my garden. That's serious to somebody. Don't make light of it. They bow down to that idol. They worship that thing. That's why Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 17, it broke his heart to see the idol worship in Athens, Greece. It broke his heart. He says, you've got all these idols and you worship them. And then just so that you don't offend any god, you've got this statue and it says, we dedicate this one to the unknown god so you don't offend the god that you might have missed. He's the one I want to speak to you about. The one you've missed. Aren't you glad, Christian, have we taken it for granted that we worship a God that's invisible? He's in heaven above. It's where we're going. He wrote us the book that we might know Him in the meantime. We don't carve a totem pole and bow down and, oh, bless this and bless that, oh, great and mighty totem pole. And we laugh. But we shouldn't laugh. It's serious to people. It's so tragic. We were created to worship, my friend. God made us to worship. It's ominous because these people will not worship. But it is actually ominous, too, that we will stand and worship the eternal living God forever. John 4:22-24, Jesus said, God the Father in heaven is seeking such to worship Him, that we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 96:9. The psalmist says, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. I'm not worshiping God if I want to be entertained. It's not for me. I'm not worshiping God if I want to be touched. It's not about me. I'm not worshiping God when I'm not dedicating my life. But if I am dedicating my life, it's all about Him to be worshiped. My friend, it's all about Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, jot it down. You can look it up later. John 20, verses 26 to 29, it's Thomas. I love this about worship, and I love this about Thomas. We are to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That means we are to be worshiping God who's invisible, but with knowledge of Him based upon the Bible. Thomas, remember this, is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Jesus is now raised from the dead. Thomas, out of all the guys, is still doubting, remember? And he says, I'm not going to believe. Church, stop right there. Do you think Thomas wanted to believe? No, he wanted to believe. In fact, I think he was very upset that he didn't believe. That's why he was going through the gyrations that he was. I will not believe. You know what he's doing? He's kind of threatening God at a poker game of doubt. Basically, like a little kid, he's saying, I'm not going to believe. Please give me a reason to believe. I'm not going to believe unless I touch the holes in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe, Thomas said. You know what he's saying? Please, God, I'm scared. Prove me wrong. I want to be wrong. Jesus shows up, by the way, and the Bible says that they were all gathered together, and without a window or a door being opened, Jesus shows up. Can you imagine? Hey. They all freak. How do we know? He says, don't be afraid. Can you imagine? Whoa! Jesus, it says, is standing in the midst of them. And then he turns to Thomas. Thomas, oh, could you imagine? What? What is it? Thomas, yes. Reach out and touch the holes in my hands. Can you imagine? I wonder if he said, it's okay, Lord. It's all right. Thomas, do it. And put your hand in my side. Can you imagine? Jesus rose from the dead and he still had a hole in his side. Thomas obeyed Jesus, puts his fingers in the hole. Can you imagine? Ooh. Yikes. Here, Thomas. Can you imagine his hand going inside the robe? There's a cavity there. He falls on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. Amen. And Jesus says, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those from this moment on whom never seeing me, will believe. Look at you. Look at you and you and you and you and you. Isn't it awesome? You see, you're going to escape the second coming's disaster because you're coming with Christ down to earth, having believed in Him. You will be raptured before that event. My friend, we need to exercise our faith. We need to do it. We need to worship. Yes, it's ominous. Yes, but listen, we need to be faithful. We need to stop. Church, please, if you forget everything, don't forget this. Will you please get up and get going and stop being so careful? We're so careful about so much. We're so careful. You guys, have you ever been in negotiations with people? Like, have you ever been trying to buy something, or you're selling something, or I remember when we were in negotiations for this dirt, for this property. Did you know millionaires and billionaires, you know what they do when they argue with you over things, over deals? It comes down to this. Literally. You know, when they sold us this property, you didn't buy it by the acre. Did you know that? Happens to be 13 acres, just about 13 acres. We didn't buy it by the acre. You know how they sell land in California? By the square foot. So here's how the negotiations went. They said it's for sale for $7 a square foot. Yikes. Let's offer them five. The guy, literally, he said, what? Five? The agent said, this is an insult. I said, just please present it to him. The agent didn't call me up. The owner called me up. He's asking seven. We offered five. The owner called up, and he spoke broken English. He's French. And all I could understand was the cuss words that were in English. Cussed me out. A month went by. He didn't sell the land. We offer $5.67, 68, 69, pennies. They're ready to go to war over a penny. Then we settled. $6. Okay. $6 a square foot. That's the way the world thinks. And I'm going to tell you, you got to step out, exercise faith, no matter how silly something looks. If God's calling you, step out and do it. And church, if you're a Christian this morning, God is challenging you to step out in faith. I guarantee it. He's calling you to do it. Very quickly, and we'll end with this. Exercising faith, yes, but also verses 20 to 21, tragic. The rest were killed by the sword that proceeded from the mouth of Jesus who sat on the horse, and the birds were filled with their flesh. My friend, we were created to love and to be loved. This is not what God wants. And yet, man in his rebellion is rejecting Christ, rejecting the love of God. And the application is this. You guys, the reality is, as a Christian, I want to be loving. Who says that we should be? Jesus. He says to love one another. Church, we're almost done. I want you, if you're a Christian, watch this. I'm going to give you a little test right now. If you're a Christian, I'm going to have you raise your hand in a second. And when you raise your hand, I want those of you, all of us, Christian or not, I want you to look around with our hands raised. Are you ready? Now count the cost. Are you a Christian? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Now keep your hand up. Look around, everyone. Just look around. Look to the left. Look to the right. Okay, put your hand down. All right, did you see all those hands up? Jesus says, by this the world will know that you know me, by your love for one another. Not an option. Not something to debate. You do it. That means you guys are going to be the cutest people right now leaving this parking lot. Oh, no, after you. No, after you. Do you want to back out? Go ahead, back out. Come on. Right? You're going to see each other. You know, you got a lot of you have the little stickers, the cross, or Jesus said, come after me. You'll see each other around town. Hi. Start saying hi. You won't break. Start there. You guys are wonderful. Listen, covertly, you guys are over the top. Amazing. If somebody's in need, you respond tremendously. But you know what I'm finding out more and more? When we're standing around at stores and stuff, it happened yesterday. I was at a counter, and the girl was taking care of my transaction. The owner of the store walked by and said, hi, Pastor Jack, how are you? The owner, the employee, she goes to the church too. Oh, I go to the church. You go to the church? I go to the church. Well, I know you're the pastor. Yeah, but who are you? Hi, nice to meet you. And the owner, he goes to the church. Yeah, yeah. Come to find out, we go to the church. We did. Wow. Start saying hi. You see somebody with their thumb up because their car is broken down? What would Jesus do? Pull over. Hey, I saw you have a Jesus sticker on your car. By the way, free towing and free pickup. Get a sticker on your car. Think about it. Did you get that, or was forget AAA? Put Jesus said, "Come after me," or put the cross sticker, or the sun, that. Put this on your car. The sticker. We've got a bunch of stickers. When you break down, people will pull over and say, "I saw your car's a Christian. Can I help your car? Can I help you?" Love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the events that are before us are gruesome. We also thank you, Lord God, that your Bible makes it very clear that for the Christian, we'll have no part of this other than come with you in the great second coming. Wow. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that if there is a man or a woman...